As we look to you today and we look to your eternal word, we thank you that it is quick and it is alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I ask that it will do the job that you sent it to do. Father, we open up our hearts to you. We open up to hear from you, to observe your word, believe it, put it into practice. God, heal our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue this series on having our eyes healed by the grace of God, by the Bible, by the gospel, in how we see one another. And I have a sense from the Lord today. Jesus said this a couple times as he preached. He would say, open up your heart. Don't harden your heart. And I believe that there are some today that if you will give heed, not to my voice, but to the voice of God, if you'll give heed to him today, that there is a fork in your life and there's an entirely different path for your life to go on if you change your heart, listen to the Lord today. In the same way, if you harden your heart, if you reject what God has to say to you, what's been tough is going to be tougher. And there is ruin and destruction ahead for your life if you reject what God has to say today. Turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And what does the Bible say about how we see one another? And this has been tainted so deeply by the world, so deeply by sin, that sometimes we don't even know that we've been blinded. Sometimes we don't even know the amount of light that is not present in our eyes. And so we're going to look today at how we see one another, male and female. Now, this one is remarkable because it is applicable so often. Okay, we're going to look at some other ones in the weeks to come, but all day long, you are interacting with people of a different gender. How do you see them? How do you view them? All right. And if it's not biblical, then things are going to be off. And the way we see people is the way we treat them. And so our behavior is going to be skewed from God's perspective. Ephesians 2 speaks of how we need a Savior, and that he came and all of us were lost, but Jesus raised us. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Okay, so this was Jew and Gentile grouping, but it would be any other type of grouping. He's made two one. So whatever divisions are in Christ, we are been made one. Verse 15, "By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." May God kill hostility between the genders today. May there be many grave sites opened up that would kill hostility as a result of his word today. Now, men, as we think about gender, there's two questions that we have to think, men. One is, how do we see ourselves? Because we're a man. And I'm 51, and boy, have I been given a lot of messages of what it means to be a man. I mean, completely conflicting messages, both in and outside of the church. So if you're a man, it is very possible to be confused. How do I see myself? What does masculinity mean? All right. And then as a man, how do I see the other gender? How do I view a woman? All right. Is every woman a potential Jezebel? Is that how I see them? All right. And then women, same thing for you. All right. How do you see yourself? All right. Are you like three quarters of a human since you are female? How do you see yourself? Are you incomplete unless you have a man attached to your life in some form? Is that how you see yourself? And then, how do you view men? All right? Do you see them as kind of a highly functional gorilla with a remote control? How do we see one another? Okay, what has God done? Because he did this on purpose, all right? And it really, really affects how we live and how we live our lives towards one another, how we do our families. So this week is really part one. Next week, we're going to look at roles, responsibilities, all right, in society, in the home, in the church, because the Bible has things to say about that. But today, we're really going to be looking at how God made us and how we see one another. Because if we get this part wrong, we will absolutely get next week wrong. Okay, so we've got to let the gospel first hit our heart and our eyes today. All right, so I don't think there's a better place to start other than Genesis 1 and 2, because that's where gender started, and it started by our creator, benevolent, wonderful God. Okay, so he did this. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them, who's them? All right, that's me, it means more than one. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man, or mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And God blessed who? God blessed one above the other? No, he blessed them at the same time. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion, literally mean to reign like a king, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. All right? So we've noticed this before, that every single person, all right, so male and female, bear the image of God. All right? So from Genesis 1 and 2, there's some really important things that we need to see and accept, all right? So one of the things we need to see and accept is that both men and women bear the image of God. They bear the image of God. So how do we see one another? As image bearers, okay? Please hear this, that a single man on his own, all right, hanging out by himself, fully and completely bears the image of God. A single woman by herself in a room fully bears the image of God. All right? So before we come to view one another or have relationship with each other, and we're not just talking about marriage. Obviously, those of you who are married or may get married, that's a special male-female relationship. But we're going to have lots and lots of other male-female relationships with moms and dads and aunts and uncles and siblings and co-workers and co-ministers, okay? When Paul, at the end of Romans 16, when he is saying, greet this one and greet this one, he's commending different people in ministry, it's pretty much half people who were in ministry, half men, half women. All right, in the church there in Rome that were serving in different capacities. Okay, so we're going to be with each other a lot, just except at the men's conference and the women's conference, right? So when we see someone our same gender or the opposite gender, that person fully bears the image of God without another person. Do you hear that? Okay, so they bear the image of God. They are not somehow faulty or incomplete without the other gender in their life. Okay? So to bear the image of God, one of the things that means is that you and I are set apart from animals. Set apart from animals. I love watching game in the bush and everything like that. And so in southern Africa, the thing you see the most is impala. And so there are bachelor herds of impala. And then the bachelor herds try to attach themselves to a female herd. And there'll always be one male that will service about 100 females. I hope I don't need to explain that any more than I do. Okay. So I always hear, you know, this is the story and everything. Oh, okay, well, I guess that's what I'm... No. I'm not an impala. Okay, I'm not getting any cues about my life from an impala. Okay? And you know, the young males fight one another. And, oh, yeah, that's how we are. No, it's not how we are. They're impala. We bear the image of God. They do not bear the image of God. Okay? So we, part of what we, when we bear the image of God, means that we're like Him. We're like Him. All right? We're set apart from the animals. The animals are not like God. Okay? So we have been given dominion. We have been, Psalm says, put in charge of God's earth. Right? He decided that. Okay? But then the other part of being in God's image is that we are rational beings, meaning we can think. All right? And we are volitional beings, meaning that we can act and will and have a choice. Okay? Again, animals do things because they're just wired that way. Okay? So we can actually think and make choices, and that makes us like God. Because here, the Bible talks about the mind of God and the acts of God. And so you and I have a mind and we have acts and we're held responsible for what we do. All right? So all of this, when God created this for you and I to be like this, it was created as good. It was created as good. All right. So the other thing we see in the garden, and this would be in Genesis 3, is that man and women have fallen together. Fallen. Both are lost without Jesus. All right. Now that's important because it's not like the women have fallen farther, or the men are more sinful and have fallen deeper into sin. Okay, we are lost, completely lost. We both need a Savior. Ephesians says we have both been risen together. All right. From what we can see in Revelation, there's not a men's section of heaven and a ladies' section of heaven. All right. The men don't worship at the throne closer, and the ladies are in the back making samosas for the guys for when we get out of the worship conference or something. Okay. We are there together around the throne. All right. So fallen together. We've been raised together. So each of us. So how do I see a female? How do females see men? That person bears the image of the Creator God. In the same exact way that God formed me and breathed life into me, God did the same to them. All right. And I would argue that might be the most important thing, because when we mistreat one another based on gender, or we think wrongly about one another, we're actually thinking wrongly about God. That God was somehow imperfect in His creation or His design. Oh, I tell you, men are just... Little girl, let me just tell you, men are just animals. No, that is a lie. That is false. That is not true. Huh? Son, let me tell you. Now, I know your mother's in the other room. Let me tell you. Women are just designed. They'll manipulate you. They don't tell you the truth. No. They're born in the image of God. They were created, handcrafted by God to be like Him. So if you're saying something else, you are wrong. And it's an insult to your creator and her creator and his creator. Okay? So another thing we see from the garden is that men and women have the same essence. Okay? The same stuff. Okay? Look at Genesis 2:21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs. How many? 3, 4, 5? One. If he wanted him to have three, he would have taken three ribs. In the beginning, Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. Jesus, when he talked about marriage, he came back to Genesis. Okay? He didn't use the polygamy of David as an example for marriage. Okay, and also just ask yourself, how did that go for David? How did that go for Solomon? Not so great. Okay? All right. Come back to the men's conference. Okay. He slept. He took one rib, all right, closed up the flesh. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. All right? So, the flesh and bones of a man and a woman, it's the same. Okay? Now, obviously, geneticists will tell us our maleness goes back to a single male called Adam. The Bible's true. All right? Your femaleness goes back, there's a common DNA thread that goes back to a single woman. All right? So that part of us, but the essence of who we are, okay, flesh and bone, spirit, it's the same. All right. Could Adam say to the Impala, you are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone? No, what he'd really say is, I don't even know how you got here. When I was formed and God breathed into me, I looked around and you guys were already here. You were created on another day. Okay. Adam remembered when Eve arrived and he remembered what happened to him. Okay. So the very same essence, the same essence. Now, our world, our culture fights this idea. You ever heard the nursery rhyme? Snips and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of, sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. Now, I don't know what a snip was until I looked it up. A snip is a leech. It's like a little snake that sucks blood. So we tell our little boys, you are leeches and slugs and puppy dog tails. That's what you're made of, your essence. Girls, oh, nice stuff, right? Sugar and spice and everything nice. Ladies, find a guy around you. I don't care who it has to be. Just find a guy around here and say, you're made with everything nice. Just tell him that. Just tell him, you're made of everything nice. Okay, stop. That's good. Thank you. All right. Amen. See, we get this thinking from the world are there differences? Of course, there's some differences. We might get to that next week. But the who we are, spirit, soul, and body, okay, flesh of our flesh of flesh, bone of bone, okay. Sure, there's different chemical wiring and different things that God put in there for functionality, all right? But we have to see each other, first of all, created in the image of God, but then God created us the same. Same amount of brain cells. Amen. There were times the country of my birth, for longer than the first half of the country, women could not vote in elections. Yet they had to pay taxes based on who the men voted for. How crazy is that? And the argument was, well, they wouldn't know how to vote. I mean, you don't let your four-year-old vote. They'll just vote for the candy floss party, you know? So there was this image of God, this substance of maybe their brains aren't developed like ours. Okay? And throughout history, women were barred from going to school. Certain countries of the world today, on the earth that we live in, women are not allowed to go to school and learn. They can be beaten or put to death. That is a violation of the Bible, of the essence of who God made us to be. Created in His image, same essence. All right. Now, the other thing is that when God put male and females on the earth, He knew that both were needed for human flourishing, for human flourishing. In the home, yes, husband, wife, all right, but also just male, female to do the work that He wanted done on the earth, all right? Because there's a biblical, it's people who have misunderstood the Bible, is that they believe that God gave Adam a job, and then the wife was brought to help him do his job. That's how they read the Bible. All right. And so we say these kinds of statements today. Well, behind every good man, every successful man, is a good woman. Yeah, that's a lie. Did Jesus have a girlfriend helping him out? No, he didn't. Paul the Apostle, who was a mega missionary, theological mastermind, literally, he didn't have a wife. And in fact, he said, I'm not going to like preach on this, but just you and me, Walker, I would advise you stay single. All right. Paul, I disagree, buddy. I love your thing in Romans 3, but I disagree. All right. So, was there a good woman behind Paul making him successful? No, zero. All right. And so people are taught this way. All right. And sometimes little girls are raised that your function in life is to make a man successful. That's why you were put on God, just like Eve was put on to be a helper. Hmm? Okay. Well, but wait a second. It says that she was a helper. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him. All right. Now, let's look at that, because there's two words there. A suitable helper. Another one. So suitable helper, two words. All right. So suitable. All right. So men and women, certainly in the home, male and female, God designed them to be compatible. All right. Physically, sexually, but also in many times emotionally or thinking. And so there's a broader perspective. Okay. People that have been non-Christians, and that's why we're so happy to have moms and dads dedicating their babies, all right, is it takes a mom and a dad to raise a child. Okay. Now, I know some of you are doing that without someone else, and there's grace and help for you, but that's not God's design. Okay. That child need, and it's not just, well, the man's going to go do his thing and you know, you raise the kids. Well, no, you both have to raise the kids. Okay. Because they're compatible. All right. Male and female, a suitable. Okay. Now, helper. Let's think of that word, helper. Okay, here's one of the problems when you and I, in 2019, read the Bible. Okay, when you and I read the Bible, words mean something, don't they? And the words that are in the Bible, we already, there's a past in our life of what we believe that word to be. Okay, so when I think of helper, okay, I've got 51 years of what helping means and what is a helper, okay? And so I think of sometimes when, you know, there's somebody that comes to do work at your house or your office, and maybe an electrician or a plumber or the satellite dish guy or whatever like that, he comes and then he has a helper, right? And what does the helper do? The non-smart things, basically. Right? They carry the toolbox. Hey, go fetch me some water, helper. All right? And they come. But the real important stuff, huh? Negotiating the invoice. So how much do I owe you, sir? The helper is gone. The helper's in the car. Okay. Because we're talking dude to dude now here. Helpers don't need to be in the conversation. Okay. My wife and I have someone who helps us in our home, a domestic worker. Some people might say a house help or something like that. She is fantastic. She is awesome. All right. And so, you know, on church, I wear a shirt, and then 2 days later, magically, it just appears in my closet, washed and pressed, and wow, what a help. What a help. Incredible. Okay, but she and I know who pays who and who's the boss and who's not the boss. Hey, Edith, do you mind making a salad? Sure, yes. Right? She doesn't ask me to make a salad because she's the helper. Right? Okay. So we take this thinking, helper, and then we read it into Genesis 2:18, and we are wrong. We are wrong. Okay? Let me tell you, and this I didn't make this up, folks. All right? But the Hebrew word, therefore, helper, is in other parts of the Bible. It's in the other parts of the Old Testament. And here is what is consistently noted in the Bible, in the Old Testament, for that Hebrew word, helper. The word helper implies someone or another country or another group or whatever, but someone who has more power than you, who comes to assist you because you can't do it. All right? I predicted that. Yeah. Okay. What do the Psalms say? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Does he carry my water and my tools? No. He is my helper because, man, I'm facing the Assyrians or the Philistines. And God, you are our help in a time of trouble. That's the word, folks. That's the word. Okay. God, I can't do this without you, and I need you. All right, so what we see here is that when God made male and female, he didn't clone Adam, like in the movies, you know, where he just sees another Adam, because another Adam is redundant. We already have one Adam. Okay, he can already do what he can do. So God made woman, all right, to come alongside, and male and female were given dominion. Male and female said, multiply. Male and female said, work the garden, subdue it, cause the world to flourish, because both are needed. Adam couldn't do it on his own. As a just a dude, and obviously in a family, you need two people in a family, okay? But also male, female in the earth. We're not going to do it if it's just females. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Well, you know, church is more of a ladies' thing. Are you kidding me? Yeah, we, you know, the guys, you know, we're doing guy stuff. No. A church isn't going to be a church unless male and female are giving gifts and participating. All these different things that happen around the world. We need both male and female. Okay. Now, could the animals help Adam? To a degree, they could, couldn't they? So the ox plow and the horses take you to a place, right? And so there are certain things that he could get the animals to help him, okay? But not someone who can think. Not someone who has a will. Amen. Women are not oxen replacement. Hello? Okay. So here's the Hebrew word. To supply what is needed. To supply what is needed. Typically, something or someone who is stronger, more powerful, to assist what they did not have in themselves. Do you hear that? Because we have to break this mentality that, men, I'm going into marriage and I'm looking for a helper. I'm looking for a first lady, someone to go on the red carpet with me as I do my awesome life. And she makes me look good. All right. A cook, a maid who also has sex with me. Who bears me children. No, she doesn't bear you children. You have children together, husband and wife, male and female. The two become one, and then that new institution raises the children as a family. Amen. Please don't forget what I said by the Spirit of the Lord when we open this series, this sermon today. If you reject the word of the Lord today, you're going to go on a path that you don't want to be on. The Bible repeatedly shows gender equality. Equality. No, but wait a second. We've got different functionality. We'll talk about next week. Functionality we'll talk about next week. Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, all of those things, male, female, slave, free, there is instruction in the Bible for you to do those roles. All right, and we're going to look at those next week. All right, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wife, with understanding. Dwell with them with understanding. Husbands, that means it's possible. I know that phrase seems like difficult. Come on, men, help me out. The struggle is real, right? Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyone, any male in their 20s or 30s that's written a book, How to Understand a Woman, please don't buy that book. Yeah. Because us guys, a little bit later, we're just like, keep working, keep trying. It's possible. All right. Dwell with them with understanding, give an honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. By when the word vessel is used in the New Testament, it's talking about body, physical body. Okay. Do men jump higher, run faster? Yep, they sure do. And as being, notice this, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Heirs together of the grace of life. So she's not tapping your inheritance, your spiritual blessing. No. Heirs together of the grace of life. New Living Translation says she is your equal partner. Your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Equal partnership. Okay? So when you form Husband and Wife Incorporated, the shares are 50-50. Okay? Sometimes people have misused the Bible to think, no. Marriage Incorporated is me, the dude, the guy. 100% shares, and she's the helper. She helps me. That's not biblical. That came through biblical misunderstanding for you to get to that conclusion. All right. Now, here's what I'm asking us to do. So, same essence, same mandate from God to make the earth flourish. All right. And whether we are single or married, we realize we really need each other. We need each other. And it's not going to go well separate. Okay. Again, even if you're single, we've got to respect one another and see one another well. So one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is to throw away unbiblical stereotypes. Unbiblical stereotypes. A couple weeks from now, we're going to look at ethnic backgrounds, culture, race, those kinds of things. And it is horribly damaging, and the world's been doing this for thousands of years, is we make stereotypes of people who are different from us. Oh, you hear where that guy's from? You better hold on to your wallet because they're from this tribe. Right? That's a stereotype, meaning that I'm going to view you basically kind of worst case scenario. Okay. Oh, those people are dull. You just got to, you know, they're dull. They're a little slow. Okay. And my goodness, folks, we've done this with gender. We've done this with gender horribly. Okay. So how do we see one another? Image bearers, same essence, same mandate from God. All right. If you're married, equal partners in this grace of life. Okay. But the enemy has influenced our eyes. And this happens sometimes, folks, when we don't even know that it's happening. Okay. Again, it comes from influence, come from our families. It can come through media. But here's the thing. It can come through experience. Okay. So maybe, guys, maybe you've had two or three experiences with a conniving, manipulative woman. Three. Okay, well, there are 3.5 billion on the earth, and you have had dealings with three. Okay? I tell you, I just don't need it. No. I am not giving her my PIN code. She is just out for this and that, and blah, 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 blah. That's just what women are. Well, see, you've gathered that information wrongly. Okay, now your experience may be really true, and women, same for you. Okay, but we have to see one another redemptively, especially in the body of Christ, especially people who are now born again. Yes, created in the image of God, but we've been created again in the image of God, given a new spirit. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. Okay? So, again, are men really made of leeches and snails and puppy dog tails? Well, no. 2019 would just say, no, men lie, cheat, and steal. Men are cheaters. So you tell your little girl, men cheat, just get used to it. So what you're doing is you're setting her up to expect that. So when her boyfriend cheats, oh, well, mom told me that's what's going to happen. I guess that's as good as it gets. No, that's not as good as it gets. The body of Christ is full of faithful men. Full of faithful men. Again, sometimes people see men as highly functioning gorillas. Right? Who can drive and watch Premier Football or La Liga. Men, women, I'm asking you, from all the men, stop seeing us that way. We're made of the same stuff. Bone of bone, flesh of flesh. We're also made of sugar and spice and everything nice. Because we're created in God's image. He's helped us to be born again. Okay? women have higher expectation of Christian men. Have higher expectations of Christian men. Oh, I tell you what, our little girl Jessica has this. Oh, my, 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 my. She does not waste time with little boy men. She can spot them a mile away. Yeah. Have higher expectations. Now, what does the Bible say we are? We are brothers and sisters. That language is throughout the New Testament. Greet such and such as a brother. This lady I greet, she's a sister in the Lord. Brothers, we are siblings in the Lord. Okay? Now, men, what have we been told that women are? They're deceiving. Like Jezebel, they're usurpers of authority. They're trying to go behind the back. Huh? You put a woman in power and, oh man, she'll just rule like Jezebel. Hmm? Is that what we see in the Bible? I don't see every woman of the Bible. Jezebel was lost. She was a heathen. All right? Well, she's got a Jezebel spirit. No, Jezebel's spirit is in hell. There's no Jezebel spirit that's roaming the earth inhabiting women. Okay? Okay? Ah, she's a seductress. Are there some that are? Yeah, sure there. But men, let's not, if a woman is attractive, cute, however you define that, right? And she's friendly, maybe she's just cute and friendly. She's not trying to get in your bed. Ah, I tell you, she's coming after me. Huh? You gotta watch these. Huh? Now, on the other hand, men, don't be naive, right? Don't be naive. Come to the men's conference. Right. We'll give you super spectacles so you can see which one is which. All right. All right. She's just after my money. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. All right. Or we see women as a usurper, or we see women as a seductress. Or here's a really sad one that the Bible doesn't support, is we see women as a child. Oh, we just need to help them. Here I am. I'm here to save the day. Right? Superman, Lois Lane, right? The helpless woman. And here I am to protect you from the evil of the world, to guide you in your finances and to make good decisions. And so this is kind of like a somewhere between an 8 and a 12-year-old that's going to be with you the rest of your life. That's not biblical. Is that the woman in Proverbs 31? I mean, she's bop, bop, bopping, buying, selling, hanging out, doing stuff. She's got ships going here and there. The dude just at the gates with the guys. Doing stuff, you know. That means he's full of wisdom. He's doing good stuff. The man, she's not like, well, considered a field. But let me consult my husband on the price because you know he's really the money guy in the family. No, she just buys and sells it because she's the clever girl. All right. So we have to throw away these stereotypes, even if we've had experience with some of them. Even if we have seen men who lie, cheat, and steal. Even if we have seen women who usurp and seduce and act childish. We have to let God heal our eyes to see one another. Okay? Just be really, really careful. And I would just say, be real careful with your media choices. Because especially in America, for the last, most of my lifetime, probably 40, 50 years, every sitcom, every comedy show is based on one premise, a dumb guy. a dumb, irresponsible guy who does silly things, and the mom and the kids just kind of roll their eyes, oh, brother, it's dad. Most commercials, even when they sell stuff, same thing. Dumb, goofy guy, and then it's the woman who kind of, okay, let me sort this out. James Dobson called it the dumb guy. And we'll be watching commercials, and I'll tell Haley, for the last 20 years I've said, oh, see, dumb guy, there he is, dumb guy. And see, we keep getting this in our head. And so guys, sometimes that's our role model, to be the dumb guy. The guy who drinks beers and plays poker when his family needs him. Guy's night out is every night out. See, we don't take our cues from anywhere other than right here. God created us male and female. We need one another, but we have to see one another. And we've got to throw away the wrong view that we've seen. Let me show you a PowerPoint. I saw this was really cool. I didn't make this up, but I don't know who to give credit to either. Sometimes we say this about a woman. Hey, treat her right, because she's someone's wife, sister, mother, and daughter. Meaning that she has worth because of who she's attached to. And these things are true, but there's I think a better biblical way to see that. It's the next slide. She's someone created in the image of God, created to flourish on the earth, created with spiritual gifts to use. She's someone who bears the image of God. But here's the other thing. Men are not Neanderthals. He is someone who bears the image of God. You probably have heard this statement many, many times in life. We rise to the expectations that people have of us. So in the body of Christ, raise your expectations, women, for men. There's more in us than you might think. Men, raise your expectation of Christian women. They don't exist just to be on your arm with long eyelashes, laughing at your jokes. There's more in them than you think. There's more in them than you think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not just a marriage sermon, folks. This is how we see our grandmother, our grandfather. This is how we see people in politics and ladies and men. This is how we see one another bearing the image of God. I think probably many of us in this room would say that been clouded, hasn't it? One of the devil's greatest strategies, and it's one that's only been on the earth for 100 or 150 years, is pornography. That people are these sexual objects. There's a lot more to us than that, isn't there? A lot more to us than that. It causes us to change out. It truly rewires your brain. Let's pray. Lord, we've lived in this fallen earth. And Father, the thorns and the thistles have scraped us. Lord, I can't even imagine in a room of this size the experiences that people have had with those of the opposite sex. Father, I pray that there would be healing. Healing for broken hearts. Jesus, you opened the scroll at the synagogue and you said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Among the things that the Spirit of God anointed you to do. Jesus, when you left, that anointing remained in your body, in the body of Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would heal broken hearts, that process would start right now. Father, I pray that the lies of the enemy would be exposed today. Things that we've heard, Lord, maybe even from moms and dads, maybe even from pastors, people that we respected, God, or really people that should have known better, God. Lord, heal our eyes, change our thoughts and our brains according to your word. God, this whole gender thing, you did it. You made it up. You designed it for our good and for so that the world would grow and flourish and be what you created it to be. Lord, I'm not sure we can fix everything in the world, but Lord, you can fix what's in this room. And so bring healing, bring help into your body today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A supernatural work, God. A supernatural work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, Father, help us as we go. Help us as we go. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give an admonition to every Christian in the room. Oh my, be careful, be careful, be careful what you let influence your heart and your mind. Be so careful. Don't listen to music or watch TV or videos or this or that. Don't do anything that degrades the other gender. Because it's poisoning you. It's poisoning your head. And then you turn off the video and you come and try to live in the real world. It doesn't work that way. Oh, it's just a video. No, it's not a video. It's poisoning you. Philippians says, whatever things are good and wholesome, think on those things. Think on those things. Thank you, Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. You're not born again. You can be. You were created with infinite worth and dignity. And just because you've sinned and made a mistake doesn't mean God ever stopped loving you. In fact, he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you'd have everlasting life. You could be a child of God today. If you're a backslidden Christian, come home. Come home to a father who loves you. Come home to a father who is reaching out to minister to you right now. If you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus. I need to be born again. Or I'm a backslidden Christian. I need to come home. Wherever you are in this auditorium, right now, raise up your hand. Wave it at me. Right now, all over the auditorium. Just say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I know that if I die tonight, I really don't know where I'd go. But I want to be sure. I want to make heaven my home. Anyone at all? Just wave at me. God loves you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand to our feet as we get ready to go. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. I don't know who this is for, but it's because God loves you so much. What we saw today, what we saw from the Word, and as God is causing us to wanting us to think differently. The culture I was raised in, East Coast America, circa 1970-80, that's not the culture I was raised in. That's not how people saw each other. And so some of you might be thinking here today, Pastor, some of those things, that's not our culture. Be very careful how you use those words, our culture. Our culture is this one. Okay. This came from heaven. My culture, your culture, was created by sinful people. It's tainted by sin. All culture, Russia, Angola, South Africa, Timbuktu, UK, it is tainted by sin. And you better be discerning enough to know when it has been. Jesus said this to a group of people. He said, you've rejected the word of God so that you can hold on to the traditions that were passed on to you from your fathers. Don't be that lady. Don't be that guy. That Jesus would say the same thing about you. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We submit to King Jesus and his rulership and his authority in our life. And we bow at his feet and we think his thoughts and we do his will and we use his eyes to see the world and to see each other. Oh God, heal our eyes. Heal our eyes and let us see men and women as the image bearers of the creating God, born again, capable of incredible things, gifted by you. Lord, may we esteem and honor one another the way you do to us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you have a need in your life,